Kevin, it is dark, dark times here at the end zone.
It is dark times. Yeah. Raiders are 0-3, man. I'm glad you're showing some sympathy there. Really appreciate that.
I wasn't talking about that.
Oh, you're talking about the other thing. Oh.
Yeah, the thing I know you're completely and emotionally destroyed by.
And you.
not as much as you, because didn't you send me a text or something about wanting to find airline tickets to San Francisco to be at his bedside to comfort him?
No. Are you sure that wasn't your dream and you wanted to do?
No. I've moved on well past him. He's old news.
That happened in Kansas City, right? Or
yeah, that doesn't matter because it's all about Mahomes these days.
Oh, that's your man crush now, right? Jimmy GQ, man, he's hurt. He's done for the season. So sad.
He got a big old boo boo.
Yeah. Gosh, he's still handsome though.
Oh, I'm sure there's some. Then the nurse is fighting over duty on that floor.
I got this, Charlene.
Oh, no, you don't, honey. I got it.
That reminds me of a video I may have rented many, many years ago.
We shall not discuss that. We are a family-friendly show here at The End Zone. So if you haven't guessed by now, of course, it is the latest edition of The End Zone here on the Fandom Podcast Network, where we're going to be wrapping up week 3 and previewing week 4. But before we do that, Kevin, would you care to let the good people know where they can not only find The End Zone, but all the other great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network?
Of course, you can find the Fandom Podcast Network master feed of all of our shows at fpnet.podbean.com. We are also, FPNet is also on the Podbean app. Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Of course, you can find us on Facebook at Fandom Podcast Network and email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and also on Twitter at Fan Pod Network. I'm Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Kyle, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW. My ACL is just fine. Or you can find me on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Patrick Mahomes still rules the world.
This guy, why don't you just buy that jersey and just sleep with it all night? Jeez.
This coming from the man who has Raider sheets?
Technically, but yeah, I do. Never mind.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, shall we get started by taking a look back before we move forward, Mr. Reitzel, and do a little quick overview of all the happenings of week 3 in the NFL season?
Stuff happened. Things were scored and tackles were, sacks were roughing the passers. And
hey, you're going to get flagged for that at least 3 times before the show's
over. I know, right? God, poor Clay Matthews.
Well, let's start back and roll the Wayback Machine to Thursday night, because dilly dilly, the Cleveland Browns won a football game and Cleveland got a bunch of free beer.
And dilly dilly, Cleveland did a Philly special.
Yes, they did.
Now, was it exactly like the Philly special, or was there a little bit? It
was a little different.
A little different
type of players involved. But
yeah, man. Okay, so Tyrod Taylor goes out with a concussion, something.
Yes, concussion. Okay.
Baker Mayfield comes in and looked like a brand new team. That was an exciting game. They rallied behind him. Made some plays, made the trick play, came back and beat the Jets, man. That was fascinating. Yeah. It was fun. It was a great game, and I'm happy for Cleveland.
Several great stories in that. Not only the Baker Mayfield, but how about running back Carlos Hyde, who had like 94 yards and 2 touchdowns, and also had his second child that night.
Yeah, I know, right? That was a busy night for him. Jeez, gosh.
And a lot of free beer.
Yes, a lot of free bear. I'm happy for the Browns. They pulled that one off, finally.
But let's talk about what was the most entertaining game of the week, which was Kevin, two teams in our region in the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints, who went to overtime, and the Saints won 43-37. Basically, whoever had the ball last won.
Yeah, overtime there. A big shootout here in the South. Those games kind of always go like that, though. Yeah. And Drew Brees, man, Matt Ryan went off big time, especially if you had them fantasy wise. It was crazy, you know, too.
Let's talk about the guy who we'll be talking about a little bit later, too, is probably the most picked up waiver wire guy out there, Mr. Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, he went off in one of my teams. My opponent had him, but luckily he was on the bench.
Yes, thankfully. Well, moving on, let's talk about the most Jekyll and Hyde team, I think, in the NFL right now, and that would be the Washington Redskins.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah.
Week one looked pretty solid. Week two looked terrible. Week three just manhandled the Green Bay Packers and Adrian Peterson, looking like Adrian Peterson of 5 years ago.
I know, right? What a pickup there. Redskins able to defeat the hobbling Packers. Clay Matthews, another flagged sack.
And I've seen that play, and I'm like, how is that roughing the passer? If you watch the replay, he even puts his arm out to brace it against the ground to try to keep his weight off the quarterback.
Yeah, and he also even pulled a pillow out and put it underneath the quarterback's head. And I think he also gave him some Advil as well.
I think he tucked him in, gave him some milk. And
yeah, I think he put an after dinner mint on that pillow as well. And I think he also sang him a bedtime song, too, if I remember correctly.
Wait, flag on the play, Kevin. You just got hit for roughing the passer. The bedtime song was too much.
Dude, I saw both of those and I could see why they called it, because there was a little too much Clay Matthews weight on the thing. So I guess what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to grab the quarterback, and then as you're falling to the ground, you're supposed to turn to the left or the right so you're not full body weight on the quarterback. So I get that. But how do you do that in the heat of the moment?
Okay. NFL, you've forgotten a little thing called physics.
Yes, exactly. Physics. Physics is a thing, NFL. You know what I would love to see? I would love to see the referees like do a full body contact presentation of this and have them try to sack each other and show them how to do it right. I would love to see them try that.
Well, we're going to talk about this particular thing because it actually led to an injury this week, and we'll get to that when we get to that game. But let's talk about the Eagles and Colts and the return of Carson Wentz. Okay, I have a couple quick observations from this game. The Colts are better than I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck is still not fully healthy because he can't throw the long ball. That was very obvious at the end of the game when they pulled Jacoby Brissett.
But they're competitive, though.
Yeah, they're very competitive. They're better than I thought they would be. When the Eagles get healthy, they're going to be scary.
Carson Wentz looks fine to me. He looked mobile. He was making, and then when he went down too, he came up fine. So that's good.
Yeah, it's just getting Alshon Jeffrey and a couple other guys back, and they're going to be back to full.
Can we talk about the game, though, that with the score the way it was, it should have been one team with that score instead of the team that we didn't think was going to have that score.
That's true. Okay,
so let's talk about the Bills Vikings here. So the Bills, the Vikings were favored 16.5 points at home against the supposedly worst team in the NFL.
Wait, Kevin, look out. Look out. Watch out for low flying Josh Allen's.
Yes. He was actually riding a buffalo on that play.
He's riding a Viking. Get it right.
Yeah. So Josh Allen starts, of course. And the Bills went into Minnesota and punched him in the mouth. Oh, my God. 27-6. 17. They were up, 27-0 until the last quarter when the Vikings were able to put 6 points on the board.
Okay. Bear with me here for a second, Kevin. I've got to channel something. Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nice. That was okay.
Chris Berman.
Chris Berman. Well played, sir. Yeah, I mean, okay, so you had your defensive player retire at halftime the previous week. How do you bounce back?
Yeah, well, let's not forget, no LeSean McCoy for the Bills in this game either.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. But the Bills' defense, like, they were molesting Kirk Cousins, man. It was bad.
Yeah, it was ugly. But okay, Kevin, we got to move on to the next game, and I know you won't want to talk about this. But we have to.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the Ravens and Broncos. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, you're. Yeah. Does that name Albert?
Lay it
Wilson
on me.
You...
Lay it on me.
Wait, no. You know what? Okay, he's got his Raiders tater bear, so he's got comfort. But, okay,
hold on. If you're gonna say that, you got to explain what's happening here.
Yeah. No. Okay. I'm gonna explain. Kevin's daughter bought him Tater the Raider Bear.
It's one of those pillow pets, but it's a Raider.
Yes, it's a
bear.
Pillow pet. Yeah, and, you know, it's for his comfort in these trying times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, I have to ask you, Kevin, what happens when I say the name Albert Wilson?
I don't know who Albert Wilson is still. He probably hurt the Raiders, didn't he?
He's the one who threw the receiver who threw the touchdown pass and then got the big run touchdown right after that. Yeah. Jerrion Grant, does that name ring a bell for you?
Another no-name player that beat the Raiders and made me feel bad.
Okay, I have two questions. I mean, the Dolphins get the test coming up because they play the Patriots, but I do have legitimate Raiders questions here for you, Kevin. One, the craziest stat of the season so far, the Raiders have only trailed in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And two...
Is there a question there, or is that
no,
a statement?
I mean...
Are you asking
what's
me a question?
Yeah,
you said you had two questions for me. Where's the first question?
I'll get to the other. That's the first question. What's happening in the fourth quarter? Because I know part of it has been like Derek Carr just like becomes Mr. Hyde in the fourth quarter because he starts.
It's not just Derek. Trust me. I mean, he's not the only one.
I mean,
this
is yeah.
We had another crucial drop by Amari Cooper. They just can't seem to figure a way to close out a game. They've been very competitive. They've lost to two teams that are now currently 3-0. You know, obviously the Rams and now Miami, and then they lost to Denver, which is 2-1 now. They just can't seem to. They run out of gas, it seems like, and there's a couple of really stupid things that happens whether they. Either miss a route, pull a penalty that just changes the game and the momentum for them in that last quarter. And it's funny too because I remember when we were going into that last quarter, I'm like, oh, I'm so nervous here. And then I was like, when was the last time the Raiders took a knee to close out a game in a victory formation? And I think it was like maybe the Jets game last year or something. It was crazy. Yeah, I don't know. It's you know. Gruden was obviously frustrated just because, you know, they have the playmakers, you know, they were playing well through three quarters and then they just let up. Can't finish.
Okay.
It.
Now the next question I have for you, and we talked a little bit about this earlier today off the air, but I want to ask you, Kevin, because I asked you this when Murph was on and I asked you in all seriousness, can John Gruden and Reggie McKenzie coexist on the Raiders? And there was a report that came out on Saturday from Ian Rappaport, who I have a lot of respect for. Him, Schefter, Mortensen are kind of the guy, and Jay Glazer are kind of the guys. If they say something, there's some weight to it. And they're saying there is a pretty big split in the front office between Gruden power and McKenzie power, and it sounds like Reggie McKenzie's kind of probably going to be on the way out after the season, and Gruden's going to have full control. Do you think that is causing some issues for maybe some extra things Gruden doesn't need to be dealing with right now?
Not when it comes to the way the Raiders are playing. No. This is actually old news for Raider fans because we've been getting this type of information. So obviously when Gruden was hired, and Mark Davis is a huge Gruden fan, by the way, there was a power shift, obviously, and we know the history of. Reggie McKenzie and his, you know, his scouting, especially his twin brother who does it as well and helps him. But when you bring in a guy like Gruden, I think that there is probably some rubbing each other the wrong way, maybe. But the thing with one thing you guys have to remember too, what Gruden is good at is Gruden's good at, you know, doing this type of scouting thing. I think that he trusts his inner circle more because of what he's put together. But the thing with Reggie is he's a good numbers guy. What he has done for the salary cap and getting the Raiders out of salary cap hell has been phenomenal.
Yeah, because you guys were a mess when he took over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. His picks have been more miss than hit. Obviously, Khalil Mack and Derek Carr, Amari Cooper. But there's been a lot more misses. And it's been very frustrating for Raider fans, especially a lot of the defensive guys. If you're not, you know, like our secondary help and you know, with the exception of Khalil Mack. And that is not that obviously came across Gruden's table as well. And so Gruden's like, you know, well, I got to go with my people. And when you bring in a coach like Gruden, who is going to run things his way, he's going to trust his people. I wouldn't be surprised if McKenzie is out. I don't know who's going to handle the money part like he did, which he was able to help with. What people are forgetting was, except for 1 year, 2 years ago, the Raiders have not had a consistent winning season since Gruden was there. And that was only for a few years. And then before that, we've been crap ever since we, won a Super Bowl. Yeah. So it's like, you know, but where I see us now, I see us in hopefully a better rebuilding thing and pieces will start to fall together. But when it comes to that relationship, I wouldn't be surprised if Reggie either steps aside and handles the financial and contract part, or if he's just gone and then that is put up to the other people behind there. There's another man that's behind this thing that isn't spoke of much, and I'm forgetting the guy's name, but he is also crucial to a lot of the contract negotiations as well as some of the picks. I'm forgetting the guy's name, but he is in that inner circle with Reggie McKenzie and Gruden and, of course, Mark Davis, the owner.
Okay. I'm just going to say this, and I'm saying this because actually it's important to me for the Raiders to be good because it makes the Chiefs Raiders more fun and it makes the AFC West more fun. The one thing I'm going to tell you guys, and again, I'm going back to the fact I've been here in Tampa. I saw what Gruden did here in Tampa, and hopefully he's learned from it. And I really do. But what happened in Tampa was Gruden chased out a pretty good personnel and salary cap guy in Rich McKay. It was, they butted heads. Rich McKay said, "I've had enough of this. I'm going to Atlanta." John Gruden then brought in his buddy, Bruce Allen, who was basically a yes man to John Gruden. Mm-hmm. And they blew up. Within 3 years, they completely destroyed Tampa's salary cap by signing veterans to overpriced contracts, such and such. I really hope that Mark Davis is smart enough, or somebody in the Raiders is smart enough to realize you have got to have somebody in Gruden who's going to control him on the salary cap end, because he still doesn't understand it. And he's gone on record saying he doesn't understand it.
Well, so with the Mac decision, I think he understands it.
Well, we'll see. But we'll
because
see
if they would have signed Mac 23-25% of next year's salary would have been just two people of an entire 52 team.
But believe it or not, there's a lot of teams that are in that same boat. But that's another discussion for another time. We've talked that into the ground. And
he has learned that, and we'll see. But move on.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely moving on. So Broncos went to Baltimore, and Baltimore is always a different team at home, and they showed it against the Broncos because they put a whooping on the Broncos, in my opinion, 27-14.
Yeah, we thought the Broncos had a chance to edge that one out, but Broncos, Albert Collins had a game there. John Brown and Crabtree, I think, were both productive, if I remember correctly. But Ravens are tough to beat at home.
Ravens defense had a big game, and it was a pretty inclement weather game too. So,
yeah,
another fun game was this Bengals Panthers game, and I think we learned a little something about both teams in this game, Kevin. One, Joe Mixon is really important to the Bengals because they were a different looking team without him on the field.
Yeah. Giovanni was still productive. I don't know if I'd put that all on the running back there. Panthers still competitive, especially at home. So
And I think Norv Turner is making a huge difference in the Panthers offense, and he's getting them. Cam Newton looks different, and they got Christian McCaffrey very involved in that game. So he had 182 yards. So in a game I don't think anybody cared about, Giants Texans. Did you care,
yep.
Kevin?
Giants actually were to be were competitive, 127-22.
Yep. 9-6, Tennessee beat Jacksonville with Gabriel.
That's an upset, man. Whether I know it was a an ugly game, but Titans at home with injuries, able to hold the Jaguars to 6 points and outscore them. That's, yeah, I mean, Jaguars defense were still doing their job, but offense obviously didn't.
Fun fact, the Titans have beaten the Jaguars the last 6 times they played.
Mmm.
And then, of course, we had the sad game for all the ladies out there. Jimmy GQ went down with his torn ACL as Kansas City moved to 3-0, winning 38-27. And as much as I am loving everything with Patrick Mahomes and what that offense is doing, they have got to either get Eric Berry on the field or pull off I'm hearing rumors are that apparently Kansas City is one of those teams that's talking to Seattle about Earl Thomas.
Because you think you always bring up Eric Berry like he's going to be the savior to that defense's issues. Do you think he's going to solve all that?
He's not going to solve all that, but there's going to be improvement in the way Kansas City's offense is playing, even a little bit of improvement on that defense. Because the thing that you have to understand with Eric Berry is Eric Berry is just one of those safeties. He's all around. He can play the run. He's great in the pass game.
No, I get that. But I mean,
he's another coach on the field, and he gives other players more freedom to do things. When he's not there, there's extra responsibilities on everybody else. But again, I would still like
Earl.
You said
they're interested in Earl Thomas.
Yes, I would love to see safety combination of Eric Berry and Earl Thomas. But Patrick Mahomes still throwing touchdowns. By the way, Kevin.
Gotcha. Got to move along here, man.
Yep. Los Angeles. The Chargers. Still the Chargers. Lost to the Rams. Rams hold the Los Angeles Cup.
I just want to say, Rams beating the Chargers and that Chargers offense, that was another feather in their cap of, like, this team's really good.
Yeah. Seattle beating the Cowboys. Did I really care? Did you really care?
No, I didn't care about that.
Bears leading the NFC North, Kevin. 2-1. Victory over the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I got to throw one quick thing in this one, Kevin. How completely unfair to Josh Rosen to be thrown in as to play that game and expect to win it with 5 minutes left and for his first NFL appearance.
Yeah. Well, I assume he's starting next week though, right?
Yeah, they have named him the starter.
Yep.
Jeez. Detroit manning up.
Yes.
Matt Patricia, he should know how to beat the Patriots. Detroit, I mean, they manhandled the Patriots. That was
convincingly
ugly.
Beat them. Yes, that was that was fun. Patriots 1-2, man. Jeez.
Yeah. I give it a couple weeks. I think the Patriots will right the ship when they get a few guys back.
Yeah.
Monday night, Fitzmagic almost happened again. It almost looked like Fitz catastrophe in the second quarter of that game as he threw through three straight interceptions at one point, but he led Tampa Bay back and almost pulled off the full comeback. Kevin, this was a really entertaining game on Monday night.
Yeah, they scored 17. They outscored the Steelers, but the Steelers had so many points going into the half. They scored. The Buccaneers were the only ones to score in the second half, but they just wasn't quite enough.
Yeah. Some real sloppy feel, too. He had a big storm before that game, so I think that contributed a little.
To the standings here, Miami Dolphins 3-0 in the AFC. Everyone else only has one victory. Did not see that coming, did you?
Well, we'll see. The Patriots will right the ship, and this is, well, we might start this week against Miami. AFC North. Cincinnati still sitting on top of Baltimore. And, I mean, everybody, Cleveland's 1-1-1. Pittsburgh's 1-1-1. That's going to be an interesting division.
Yeah, who Cincinnati and Baltimore tied for first right now.
The Tennessee Titans sitting atop the AFC South. Who'd have thought that?
Yes, because they beat Jacksonville, who's also 2-1. Yep. And then your Chiefs in the West, 3-0, followed by 3-0. Denver, 2-1.
Followed by the Chargers at 1-2. And Oakland and some other team. Some other team we won't mention. Yeah. You look at the NFC, the East, looks like it's going to come down to Philadelphia and Washington battling it out for the season because Dallas and the Giants, yeah, not so much.
Yeah.
The craziest division in football, in my opinion, the NFC North. Nobody really wants to win it.
Chicago's stepping up. They're 2-1. Everyone else is 1-1 or Detroit Lions 1-2.
the most competitive division in football, the NFC South. Three teams at 2-1, and the Falcons at 1-2. And the Falcons could easily be 2-1.
Yes, they could be. That's crazy.
Can we just call the Rams the NFC West champs now?
Yeah, let's crown them.
Yeah, well, let's just call that now. We won't go with the standings of that division anymore. So, power rankings, Kevin. I know you're excited.
Oh, I'm so excited about this, not.
Of course, this is the CBS Sports power rankings. The LA Rams at number one. Not shocking. Coming in at number two, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Not surprised by that.
Number three, the Carson Wentz Philadelphia Eagles. Number four, the 3-0 Miami Dolphins. Number five, I'm not so sure about this, the Tennessee Titans. No.
Yeah, just because they beat the Jaguars and that, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Number six, the Jaguars. Number seven, the Redskins. I would have the Redskins actually ahead of the Titans. I'd have the Saints at number eight ahead of the Titans.
Yeah.
I'd have the Panthers at number nine ahead of the Titans.
Yes.
Pittsburgh at number 10. I'm not convinced of that yet. I'd still have the Bengals in front of them.
I would too.
After that, we kind of go through there, but Kevin, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
You're right. I'm not. Number 30, the Oakland.
Move
the
along. Oakland Raiders. Fake sympathy. Well, I smell that. Nice try.
Yeah, you know. Let's look at the top stories. Obviously, the big news coming out of the weekend, it was the injury to Jimmy GQ. San Francisco's got to be sick, Kevin.
Watching that play, it's weird how these
non-contact
ACLs and non-contact, and how they're just, you expect to see like, oh yeah, that was a hard hit. I see why he broke this or ripped that. But man, these non-contact injuries are just devastating.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those times where it's like, okay, San Francisco gave Jimmy GQ a ton of money. And basically, you know, with based off of a 5-game thing, and this is Jimmy GQ's second major injury. Remember, he was the starter when Brady during Deflategate, and he got an injury 2 games in the season that basically kept him out for a good chunk of that season.
What injury was that one when he was with the Pats?
I think it was something with his hip or something like that.
Okay.
So this is big. I mean, Jimmy, he's done for a year at least.
At least it's happened early in the season, and so I think he'll be back in time for the beginning next year.
Yeah, I hope he rehabs and comes back well. In maybe the most in a bizarre and somewhat sad story right now is what's going on with one of the captains of the Minnesota Vikings and one of the better defensive players in the game, Everson Griffin, the defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings.
I didn't know who this guy was until you brought this up.
Yeah, He's one of the better players. He might be one of the top three players on the Vikings defense, if not the number one overall. Vikings have a lot of really good players on their defense. Apparently, he didn't play in last week's game due to some personal issues. And Saturday, he was in an incident where he threatened to shoot somebody, and he also attempted to break into one of his teammates' homes. This led to him being taken away for mental health issues and him spouting off some very strange things. There's a lot to this story we don't know, and I'm not wanting to get into a bunch of details right now. But, Kevin, all I can think about is maybe we got some CTE issues here?
Possibly. I don't think that had any bearing on the way the defense played this last weekend when they got beat up by the Bills.
No, not at all.
But I hope he gets gets his head checked and gets this taken care of, because when you see someone that has talent that has an issue like this, it's a little weird to accept, because it's hard to understand for a lot of people. An injury maybe, or alcohol or something like that, that affects someone. But you know, when it starts getting into the mental aspect of things, it's a little harder to wrap your head around, literally.
Yeah, no, I agree. On a brighter note, we talked earlier, the Browns won their game, but more importantly, it looks like they found a starting quarterback, Kevin.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield. by the way, did you see the after-game interview?
Oh, yeah, it was great.
I love the whole thing with Colin Cowherd. Did you catch that at all?
No, I didn't. I've heard about. I heard something happened with Coward, but I didn't catch.
Yeah, it was something like, "Boy, you know, good thing Colin." Or they said it in passing, something about, you know, "Are you glad Colin Cowherd isn't here asking your questions?" And the day after, I watched this news thing where Colin Cowherd had Baker Mayfield a while ago talking about a play that he did in college where he did this touchdown play. And Colin Cowherd was getting on him for not running over and celebrating with his teammates. Instead, you see him run off camera. And Baker Mayfield said that he went to a group of fans from his team to celebrate with them first. And then he met up with his team. And Colin kept going off on him, like, "You should be with your teammates." It's like, first of all, Colin, you weren't there. And my teammates were fine, but I really wanted to show respect to the fans that were there that traveled for this game and blah, blah, blah. And it basically, Colin Cowherd's still a jerk.
Yeah, basically. Okay. And lastly, this was interesting. It broke right before kickoff of games. Adam Schefter broke this on ESPN. Le'Veon Bell, I kind of hinted at it last week, but he's officially on the trade market.
I heard rumors that the Jets were interested. They had inquired about the trade.
The Jets are for sure the one team confirmed that's actually talked to Pittsburgh. There's been,
is that because they can afford him?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, there's only so many teams that actually have salary cap room, though. I think the teams that are even interested, it wouldn't be hard to make salary cap room. The biggest names I've heard are Green Bay, the Jets, Tampa, actually. I've also heard Indianapolis in the mix.
The Jets make sense to me. I really think they could, that having Le'Veon Bell could really help Sam Darnold out a lot.
Yeah. Tampa's actually an interesting team too, because if you watched the Monday night game last night, you can tell they don't really, their running game's pretty much dead on arrival right now.
Yeah. I dropped Peyton Barber. I'm sorry. You're that running team is not good.
Yeah. So, injuries besides, Jimmy GQ, a couple interesting ones out there. Packers defense, Muhammad Wilkerson, who's a big free agent signing for them in the offseason, hurt his ankle. He's done for the year.
Oh, jeez.
A couple of other ones of note. Ricardo Allen, the safety for Atlanta, done for the season. Mm-hmm. It turns out he tore his ACL.
Aqib Talib.
Yeah, Aqib Talib's going to be out for a month with an ankle issue. Marcus Peters might also be out for at least a Minnesota game because of a calf injury. So,
but it looks like Dalvin Cook is going to come back and play for the Thursday night game.
Yeah, Sean Lee, the linebacker for the Cowboys, eternally injured. Injured again with a hamstring.
Jeez.
So, the injuries just keep piling. Welcome to the NFL season.
Yeah, this is true. It's a game of attrition, right?
Yep. Well, before we go any further, we're going to play a little promo here to let everybody know what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network, and we will be back momentarily with more of The End Zone. Hey, Kevin, I hear you're one of the Fandom Podcast Network's co-founders.
I heard the same rumor about you too, Kyle. Like the Three Musketeers, we would be incomplete without our third member and co-founder, Norman.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's an honor to be part of the Fandom Podcast Network with you two. Kyle, why don't you start us off and let everyone know what great shows we have on the network.
Absolutely. Starting with our flagship show on the network, we have Culture Clash, your weekly fandom news show covering everything, news, reviews, and whatever crazy things we can come up with. Of course, we also have Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with Tom Caldwell, Brandon Shematula, and Chris High. Kevin, what else do we have on the network?
Kyle, we also have Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. Also, if you're a hard rock music fan, I host the Hair Metal Podcast as we rediscover the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. Norman, we're not done yet. What else have we got on the Fandom Podcast Network?
Well, Kevin, you and I co-host Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast covering all things Highlander. And I also co-host with you, Kevin, and Kyle, and other special guests, Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery, and the Orville podcast. But Kyle, last, and certainly not least, what are the other shows on the network?
Well, for all you movie fans out there, this podcast is for you. We have Couch Potato Theater, covering cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. And for you football fans, we have this show for you, The End Zone, giving you all the great mediocre fantasy football advice you can get and covering everything the NFL. And finally, you Doctor Who fans out there, we have Type 40, a Doctor Who fandom podcast. Now, Kevin, can you tell everyone how to find all these great programs on the Fandom Podcast Network?
Sure, Kyle. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at the fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram under Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPodNetwork.
Also, please search Fandom Podcast Network on tpublic.com for our store, where you can find all our shows and their logos and great t-shirts and other fun items. Also, please search Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes and leave us a review.
Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and most importantly, enjoy your fandom. So, Kevin, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do we need to change the name of this award?
No. Jimmy GQ is still very handsome, and we could still have man crushes, and so we're going to still keep the name in his honor.
Okay, so then, Kevin, who's your Jimmy GQ man crush
award? You go first this week.
Oh, I go first this week.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be the same as mine, that's why.
probably, but I've got to go with the pirouetting quarterback, Drew Brees.
That was mine. I had a feeling. Yes, we both have the same winner. Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award goes to Drew Brees, man.
Yeah, you know what? I got to give Matt Ryan an honorable mention. Same game, but he put up an amazing game himself.
Oh, my gosh. Coming back to win that game. So I'm looking at his stats here because I have him on two of my fantasy teams. That's Drew Brees, of course. And so Drew Brees had several run in for touchdowns, started with a 1 yard run. Then he had a 7 yard run. Then he had a 1 yard pass to Zach Line, then to Cameron Meredith. I mean, he just went off. And then, of course, Ted Ginn, which is becoming a popular target for him, if you're not Michael Thomas, right? Oh, my gosh, dude. He is just – he's fun to watch, I'll tell you.
Yeah, no, he's a Hall of Famer. He's first ballot, without a doubt. He broke one of Brett Favre's records in that game as well, so –
Which record was it that he beat?
Most completions.
Most completions. Gotcha. Let me ask you then real quick. Saints, the defense isn't what it was last year. Offense seems to be clicking a little bit more. Alvin Kamara, obviously a good commodity there. Picking them to win that division?
Oh, it's still too up in the air. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on in Tampa. Carolina's playing good football. I'm not counting Atlanta out. That division is wide open right now.
Gotcha.
And come on, Kevin, can you really go against the beard?
We'll see.
So the other thing we got to talk about, Kevin, is here our head-to-head picks matchup, because for the second week in a row, we're as bad as the NFL. We tied.
Okay, so just to remind people, you and I are doing these weekly football bets where if we win, we get a point, and then we tally those up at the end during the playoffs. The first round is worth 2 points each, and then 3 points, 4 points for the conference, and then 5 points for the Super Bowl. And then we have these fun little side bets where we have our pick of the week, where if we pick an underdog and the points, if we correct and they actually win the game, we tally those points. I think we're using that as a tiebreaker. So, yes, after week one, you went up 9-6, so you're up by 3 points. We pushed in, we tied each other in week two, and then we did the same thing this week. We tied again, so we're kind of on the same plane there.
Yeah, normally we do a football podcast together. Are you shocked?
That's true. I did pick Washington to beat Green Bay. That was my pick of the week. Your pick of the week was Indianapolis over Philadelphia. What were you thinking?
I thought Indy was going to be a surprising team, and I wasn't sure about. I thought Carson Wentz was going to be a little more rusty than what we saw.
No, I'm just giving you. I'm just joshing you there. Yeah, no. So that's where we are. You're still up by 3 with lots of points to go, and of course. Yeah. Remember what we're playing for here. We're playing for a brand new $1 bill that the loser has to make out to the winner, and they have to like make it all pretty and say how awesome the winner is.
So you know, I want sparkles on my dollar.
You want sparkles on your dollar? Oh, okay. All right.
Well, it is again once a time for, of course, the end zone staple, the mediocre fantasy football advice of the week. And today's topic, Kevin, from week 3 is where did he come from? As in maybe Calvin Ridley or
what team is he on again? Falcons, right?
Yeah. Albert Wilson.
Yeah.
Or even a player. We know the name, but again, we go, where did he come from? Adrian Peterson.
Well, I mean, he was drafted in the beginning of all drafts. So,
yeah, but he was, come on, he was drafted on name only. Nobody thought he was going to be doing what he's doing.
So, let's talk about when you lose a starting quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah,
you got to fill that spot. Now, I have him as a backup quarterback in my league, so I have to grab someone else off the waiver wire. Who to pick? Andy Dalton, Eli Manning, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen. So you got to kind of keep those in mind. Andy Dalton has been available in most leagues.
I would lean towards Andy Dalton or maybe a Ryan Tannehill, who's actually putting up some solid numbers.
Yes, he is. Ryan Tannehill is doing quite well. So you got to keep that in mind.
There's Kevin, I actually have another quarterback. It's going to be an interesting name to throw into the mix. And I don't think you're going to see him play in the next couple of weeks, but he could, depending on what happens down in Tampa, if Fitzpatrick, the glass slipper falls off, Jameis Winston's back. And
can we just not talk about Tampa Bay quarterbacks for a while? Come on.
I'm just saying. You asked for
Fitzpatrick's going to keep that job.
Cutter won't name the starter for next week. He said, we'll find out when the game starts.
Even though they lost on Monday night, Ryan Fitzpatrick, even though he threw, was it 3 interceptions, 4 interceptions, he still that offense still was able to score some points and almost win it.
I mean, I think it's Fitzpatrick this week. I think the question will be more after the bye. But Cutter said today in the press conference, "You'll find out who the starting quarterback is when the game starts on Sunday."
Whatever, that's a chump move.
No, it's a smart move. You don't know who to prepare for.
No, because you need to let the quarterback who's going to start the game know in advance.
Apparently Winston and Fitzpatrick do know. He's already talked to them. He's just not telling anybody else.
Okay. All right. So, Buck Allen?
Yeah.
Vulturing touchdowns? You need to pick this guy up. Albert Collins still did well.
Yeah, Alex Collins.
Alex Collins, yeah. If you want a guy that scores touchdowns, vultures him, you gotta get Javoris Allen.
Yeah. Other way, Calvin Ridley, a lot of people were starting to pick him up last week. If he's available in your league, you better put in that waiver wire. Another one is Mike Williams of the San Diego Chargers wide receiver. He's starting to get a lot of attention from Philip Rivers.
Chris Ivory, do we need to take this seriously for Buffalo?
Okay, no, because over half of Chris Ivory's yardage came on one play.
that's why I'm asking. Yeah. Ty Montgomery?
No, Aaron Jones. We talked about him last week. Green Bay went basically pass happy, but Aaron Jones did get average 7 yards a carry.
I'm believing in Aaron Jones. If you have not picked him up already, get him. I think he's gonna get more entrenched into that offense, and he's definitely a great waiver wire pickup. Geronimo Allison, I'm on the fence about this guy.
I'm a believer in Geronimo Allison. Yeah. Obviously Devontae Adams is the man, but I think Allison is right there, kind of with a Reggie Cobb.
Okay, what about Antonio Callaway? He got a lot of targets on that Thursday night game. He wasn't as you know, obviously he's no Josh Gordon, but. I think he's worth a pickup.
He's starting for them. I mean, you don't say no to starters in most of your leagues. You know, he got thrown to 10 times. He only caught four of them, but he's going to get better. Remember, he was only a fourth round draft pick. So
I'm believing the hype in Tyler Boyd, Cincinnati
Absolutely.
Bengals.
Absolutely believe in the hype, especially because A.G. Green has a groin issue right now. We're not quite sure what's going to happen there.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to talk about tight end waiver wires because it seems to be kind of the tight end depth is getting tough here. And I keep seeing two names because they're only and they're all like under 30% owned on most waiver wires. And that's Austin Hooper for Atlanta and Ricky Seals-Jones for Arizona Cardinals.
I'm liking Ricky Seals-Jones with Rosen starting now. Rookie quarterback's best friend is usually his tight end. So I think you're going to see him get a little more. Hooper, and there's too many weapons in Atlanta.
Dallas Goedert for Philadelphia Eagles. 10 passes went to Zach Ertz and 7 to Dallas. Do we need to be seriously thinking about the backup here for Zach Ertz?
As a backup? Yeah, as a backup, most definitely. Philadelphia's running a lot of two tight end sets, and they're still pretty thin at wide receiver right now, so they're using him in a little bit of split outs, too.
I was higher on Austin Seferian Jenkins until last week.
Yeah. But I think there was nobody in the Jacksonville offense that was you should have been high on last week. So
I want to ask you one last question about fantasy waiver wires here. Defenses. Okay. Do we need to take the Jets seriously?
I think they're good. I just don't. I think they're good.
It depends on the matchup, right?
It depends on the matchup. Okay. Yep. Lions, though. I think the Lions are going to be one of those ones that they're going to get better as the season goes along as they get used to that Patricia defensive scheme.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's talk fantasy football leagues. You are in three leagues. I am in five. How did you do in your three leagues?
I went 2-1, one in the ESPN league and one in my CBS sports league. But I'm sorry, I won in my NFL league, lost in my ESPN league, and one in my CBS sports league. So I'm 3-0 on NFL. 2-1 on CBS Sports and 1-2 on ESPN.
I want to ask you about the CBS Sports in just a second here.
Okay.
So you and I are in two of these leagues. That's the NFL Trophy League, where you actually get a trophy for the winner, and then an ESPN League. You and I are the only undefeateds currently right now in the NFL League. You have you're ahead of me because you have more points favored, but we're 3-0, baby. We're both 3-0. That needs to change, doesn't it?
You're going down, Reitzel. Wait a minute. I got to ask something here. Football gods. Why are Kevin and I constantly tying, and now why are we both 3-0 in fantasy in one of our fantasy football leagues? This is not
I know, right? So I'm in five leagues, more than I want to be, but stuff kind of fell into my lap, and I had to, you know, be the commish for the Atlanta Raider Booster Club one as well. I won three of the five. I'm above 500. I'm like, I'm undefeated in two, I think it is. Yeah. And then I'm like 2-1 in the rest. So I'm doing all right. I'm happy with that. Could be worse. We'll see what happens. I'm curious about the NFL league though. I'm playing against Bob's team. His team is Chenandler Bong. I like that. You are playing against Oaktown Mafia, who's 0-3, so I think you have a good chance of winning there. So, yeah, there we go.
Bring it on, fantasy football. I'm ready. So, Mr. Reitzel, you know, normally I'd go on to some diatribe about the league and stuff like that, but I know you're between Jimmy GQ and your Raiders, you're down in the funk.
Just don't forget, too, I want to ask you about the CBS League real quick, and then we have to look into next week's games.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. So CBS League real quick, think, Mr. Wright.
I was curious about trying that out next year if I don't have to do six leagues. How are you liking the way CBS does their fantasy?
I am a big fan
That's the one I have not tried yet.
I'm a big fan of it. It's the longest league I've been in. I've been in the CBS League for about 15 years. So I'm a big fan of it. Really have enjoyed it. So they do a good job, and they do a lot of fun things with it. So
how's the stats compare? Like, my favorite is ESPN and the way that they organize their stats. You can click a column and get like the most ads or get the points favorite. It's really really good. How is CBS doing?
I don't think they do quite as in depth as ESPN, but they do a very good job with it.
Okay. All right. So, cool.
So let's take a quick rundown of week four, Kevin.
Week four, baby. Oof.
And it starts with the first of a run of pretty good Thursday night football games. The Minnesota
Remember
Vikings
when those used to suck?
Yeah. Well, and we got the Minnesota Vikings at the LA Rams. Now, big thing in this game, Rams probably missing both starting cornerbacks in this game.
Mm, yes.
It could be a big game for Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen.
Yeah. By the way, I like that commercial with Stephon Diggs where he's like taking the trash out and his hands stick to everything.
Yep. The Geico. That is fun. I still like the Rams in this game. If it was in Minnesota, I'd probably lean more towards Minnesota, but I think the Rams offense is just too talented. And
it's also in LA too.
Yeah. So I'm liking the Rams there. When we go to Sunday, Miami goes to New England. I do think the 3-0 run ends for the Dolphins. The line is 7. It shouldn't be 7.
Really?
I could see New England as about a 4-point favorite in this game.
Watch Miami go to the Wildcat again.
Is Pat White available?
Yes. So you're saying that you think that line is about right?
I think that line needs to come down a little bit. I think Miami's going to keep it closer than what it is. But I think Josh Gordon will play in this game. I think New England will make some corrections. And Tom Brady is PO'd now, and you never want to play against a PO'd Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So Indianapolis is going to host Houston. Houston's a mess, and it's really disappointing because there's so much talent there. But I think that could be our first coaching change in the league. Indianapolis only favored by 1. This should be a 3-point spread just because of Indianapolis being at home. Indianapolis has played everybody tough.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm on the fence about that.
I think an interesting game, Cincinnati at Atlanta. Should be interesting, competitive. I kind of lean towards Atlanta. Buffalo Bills.
I don't know. I like those points with Cincinnati. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Buffalo Bills. Still getting no respect as they're underdogs, as Green Bay is favored by 10 over the Buffalo Bills.
Taking those points.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll see.
Learn our lesson. Detroit at Dallas. Does anybody care?
Nope.
The Jets at Jacksonville. I wouldn't want to be Sam Darnold against a very angry Jacksonville defensive unit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tampa Bay at Chicago. Chicago favored by 3. Have they watched Mitchell Trubisky play football?
I would actually watch this game.
Yeah, that's strength versus strength in this game.
Yeah.
Philadelphia at Tennessee. Philadelphia favored by 4. That seems about right to me.
Yeah.
Seattle at Arizona. Josh Rosen's first game. I'm liking Seattle in this game.
Yeah.
Your Oakland Raiders hosting the Cleveland Browns. Your Raiders are favored by 2.5, Kevin.
That feels about right.
Baker Mayfield, beware.
Not worried yet.
San Francisco at the LA Chargers. Chargers favored by 10.5.
If they had Jimmy GQ, I wonder where that line would be right now.
Yeah, very interesting. New Orleans only favored by 3.5 over the Giants.
At Giants, yeah.
Still, I thought line should be higher in my mind.
Maybe it's because it's at Giants. I don't know. Yeah.
Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh favored by 3. That seems about right to me.
Yep.
And of course,
too bad. And that's it. That's the rest of the games. Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Monday Night Football. Kansas City, which, okay, 3 of their first 4 games have been on the road, Kevin. What's up with that, first of all? But they are going to Denver. The Patrick Mahomes show is going mile high. I think this might be the toughest test for Kansas City at this point. Denver's defense is legit, and you know Denver's offense has been up and down all season, but Kansas City seems to like to be help offenses get healthy. Kansas City's favored by 5. That seems about right to me as it stands right now. What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, it seems right. This is going to be a test for them. It's always tough to play at Denver. At this point, I'm like, okay, I'm actually kind of rooting for Denver because I don't want an undefeated team in that division.
Well, this is a big, let's talk about that just real quick. If Kansas City wins this, they have a They're up. They're 4-0. Every other team in the division, at best, is 2-2. And Kansas City already has wins over Denver and San Diego.
Are you forgetting about Miami?
No, the division, just in the AFC West.
Oh, I see. Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, you're right. Yep. We should mention the bye week here, too. First week of the bye week. That will affect fantasy players. So watch your Carolina and Washington players. Cam Newton's on a bye. If you had Jimmy GQ as your backup, I'm sorry.
Kevin, now, that covers week four. We it's been a tough week for you. But you know what? I have confidence that this is the week the Raiders get off the schneid. If not, it's because they got Baker Mayfield. Is Gruden by chance maybe going to employ a quarterback change in the fourth, just for the fourth quarter?
Anything could work. We'll see.
Maybe he could. Well, my thinking is if he could put AJ McCarron in at quarterback and then have his wife standing at the end zone of whatever the team is to be a distraction.
That would work definitely for the announcer.
Yeah, your radio announcer. For sure, but
they just need to figure that out. They need to figure out.
That's just bizarre. It is bizarre. Yeah, I mean, it is. There's too much talent really there to be like that. But you know what, Kevin? It's time to wrap it up.
But the Raiders aren't as bad as people are saying. They're not catching
breaks right now. They're just not.
Yeah, they are not catching breaks, and all they wanted to still talk about is Mac. So because Mac is doing well in his team, and you know, they want, of course, you know, certain stories. Or better than others. But, you know, it's interesting, too, because a lot of people are thinking, like, the Raiders were all that. You know, like, they were – have been so good for so long, and that's not true.
I think the Gruden expectations were way higher than what they should have been at the start of the season.
Yes, yeah, and even Raider fans will cop to that.
So, but with that, we're going to call the end zone special.
Oh, Kevin? Yes, the end zone special. Now, is that where I stand off to the left – you take the snap, you flip it to the wide receiver. Wide receiver flips it to me. I give it to the center. Then there's a penalty that's called. Then we do the play again. Then you get sacked. I get the penalty for it, even though I'm on your team. Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that. But somehow, even through all of that and up team roughing the passer penalties, we will once again lead you to the end zone.